Hey there, this is Seth Wires from Channel 9, coming to you from NDC Oslo in the beautiful country of Norway. I'm here with Kathleen Dollard. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I haven't talked to you in a while.
I know. Like. It's been a while. You know, it's great to see you again.
I know. So why don't you introduce yourself for people that may not know you.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Dollard, and I work for ROI Code in Denver, Colorado. I lead a small team of developers, about 20 people, and they're totally awesome. And it's fantastic fun. I also do a lot of conferences and teach where I can and have some Pluralsight videos and still have some videos in the Winter Like Now library, and I kind of get around a little.
Yeah, I mean, like, I like talking to you because I can, like, geek out with you on computer science-y, like, real deep-level stuff. But today, you wanted to really talk to me about Net Standard.
Why? I do. It's because I think it's super important to people, and it is so confusing. I don't know how anybody, it's like, I actually sit down with people and say, explain this to me. Now, did I get this? No, did I get this? So it was a lot for me to get, so I really understood it, and I was lucky enough to be able to talk to some people that helped me get it together. And so I would just love to share that with people because, man, if you're reeling right now because so much has been happening at Microsoft, I get it. I totally get it. So let's see what we can do to clarify some
Absolutely.
Of that, okay?
So let's start with, because there's a number of concepts that I think, like together is where the confusion, there's the actual frameworks. There's the full frameworks, there's the .NET Core frameworks, there's something called Net Standard, there's like Net App 1.1, and I'm like, oh, is it App Core? I'm trying to make sense of all of these terminologies. How would you organize them so that they make more sense?
Well, there are a lot of frameworks, and that's actual real frameworks. That's code that can actually run, and it can make your application actually uses it, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you think about those, it's like a bunch of circles, okay? Uh-huh. And they don't overlap completely. Xamarin is different than .NET Full Framework. .NET Core is different than .NET Full Framework. So these are different, but you can actually run your application on these, okay? So if we start there, and then we say, well, gosh, maintaining them all is hard for Microsoft. Well, they got lots of money. Do we care? Yeah. But for us as developers, that means that the parts of our apps that we'd like to share can be hard to share.
Yeah.
You know, there's PCLs, but every time a new PCL comes out, you have to think about what you're going to target. And so there's just a lot of challenges in that direction. So .NET Standard comes along and just kind of pushes that out of the way a bit by creating a standard. It's a document that's like an HTML standard, mm-hmm. okay, that says if you're going to claim to be .NET Standard, you have to implement these APIs. Now, there's a couple of APIs that are going to be implemented with, oops, can't do that, but we can come back to that question. But it says you need to implement all these things, okay? So it's a set of commonality, and it's a big set.
So let me ask this question, because this is, I think, one of the biggest areas of confusion. You're not installing something with Net Standard.
No. Well, if you are, so Net Standard, I mean, underneath the covers, it gets messier, okay? And it's because if you know something about PCL, then PCL was kind of this definition of the intersections,
yeah.
Right. Well, you still need something that Visual Studio is going to look at and say, gosh, I want to target .NET Standard. What does that actually mean? Well, I said it was a document, which is what .NET Standard actually is, but Visual Studio can't deal with a document.
No.
What can it do with a Word document?
Yeah.
What can it do with Markdown? So there's actually is, you know, a definition, and that's going to be, you know, basically a set of interfaces that Visual Studio can work against to understand. There's tooling around that so that Visual Studio can understand it. So to say that it's nothing other than a document is a little bit incorrect, but primarily it is a document.
So for sure it's a specification of saying if you are a Net Standard framework, mm-hmm. like, let's just say, like, for example, Mono or the full framework or
right.
Xamarin.
Right.
If you are Net Standard 1.0, you will implement all of these things.
This set of things, right. And you said 1.0.
Yeah.
And so Net Standard in preview right now is 2.0.
Right.
So there's 1.0. I think that's a 1.1. I don't remember 1.2. Is there a 1.2?
There's a 3 for sure.
There's 1.3 that's big. There's 1.6 that's big. And now 2 is in preview. Mm-hmm. So if you think back to like the history of this and some of the changes and directions, one of those directions was that .NET Core was going to be quite small.
Yeah.
Well, .NET Core is going to be .NET Standard, so if .NET Standard is big, .NET Core gets bigger. And so .NET standard 1.0 was kind of more the little one, just as the decision was being made that you actually want to do your job, which I completely understand.
Yeah.
And so you need most of what's in the .NET framework. There's like a core set of things people use a lot. And guess what? That's pretty much the intersection between Xamarin and .NET 4.6, 4.5, whatever, because that's what people use to do their jobs. And so when you look at that intersection, they looked at some NuGet packages, they did this, they did that, to come up with a set of the commonly used things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's way bigger than what was in .NET 1.0.
I see. So now, .NET Standard, again, is a specification that says, let's just say there's a brand new crazy .NET implementer that works on satellites or something, some weird...
Your refrigerator.
Yeah, your refrigerator.
It's the operating system for your refrigerator.
Okay, so let's just say operating...
Okay.
And you want to say, okay, this runs .NET. If you want to target that, you're saying that it adheres to .NET Standard?
If it adheres to .NET Standard, everyone's applications will just run on it automatically.
Because it assumes that the framework will have all of these things.
So if I create a new platform for refrigerators, and I call it my refrigerator.net, okay, and it's new. Actually, you could probably run .NET Core, but we'll forget that, okay. So I'm going to make refrigerator.net, okay, and when I create that and I say, I'm going to be .NET Standard. Now, I have to do the work to take everything in the .NET Standard specification and implement it in the same way that something that's going to support HTML has to implement everything in HTML. So I have to implement all of that on refrigerator.net or give an intelligent error if I can't, because sometimes a refrigerator may be unable to do something, like maybe a refrigerator doesn't have a registry or it doesn't have something like that.
Console.
That is just...
Console.WriteLine doesn't work.
Maybe console.WriteLine doesn't work on a refrigerator, right. So there may be something that just fundamentally doesn't work there. So there has to be an intelligent reaction to that. But because of this, it's actually binary compatibility between these libraries, which is different than what happened with the PCLs. In PCLs, there's a different actual DLL for each thing you're aiming at. So with .NET Standard, you don't need that. There's binary compatibility via redirects. And I know that's big words, and I don't want to make it sound hard, because really what matters to people is only that their applications will be able to probably run unchanged or nearly unchanged against .NET Standard. And as soon as their application, I want to come from that direction, from what it means to the actual business programmer. Once they run on .NET Standard, then they can say, oh, well, that means I can run on .NET Core. That means I can run on Linux. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not going to be everything, because you're not going to run your UWP app on Linux. It's not going to happen.
Right.
But if you take the common pieces that are used between your Xamarin app, maybe a UWP app, maybe an ASP.NET server at some level, then all of that code is going to be able to have common things, the domain, the services, the logic, the repositories, all of that can be shared. All of that code can be shared because, well, it's .NET Standard.
Right.
And that's the point of .NET Standard, is to come from that direction and make... And the library authors, it's a little bit different. If you want, we can touch on that. But I'm talking about business programmers. They want to wait until they get a .NET Standard that covers all or almost all that they're using.
Okay.
And if it's almost all, then you have to change your code. If it's all, obviously, you don't have to change your code.
And not only that, but you're taking another step and you're saying not just, I'm not going to change my code, but the assembly IL that's in the assembly will actually work if it's a .NET Standard.
That's the design, and it still feels like magic to me, so I'm always going, okay, where doesn't that work? But that's the idea, is that it's done through redirects at the inside assemblies, and it actually does get relatively complicated when you start drawing some of the details.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the job of the .NET publish or Visual Studio
mm-hmm.
publish to get all that right for you, and then you just put it in the directory on the right machine. That's the way it should work. Now, this is a big step, and I don't think it's going to be perfect. I think there's going to be some little stumbling spots, but overall, that really is the story, is that you're just going to be able to take this, plunk it down on Linux, or plunk it down on your Windows server, and it's just going to work.
And that makes sense, because I was explained PCL before, like, for example, you start a project, you'd be like, I want it to work on this, 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 and if you checked everything, it's like, I can't.
Well, you might have still been able to do that console.write line might have still worked.
Yeah, well, you know? There were some where I literally said, because it would blank things out, and it was everything was blanked out, can't do it. But now you're saying, instead of arbitrarily picking intersection of what was available in Xamarin and NetFramework and NetCore, instead we're going to make a bar and say, this is the bar. You tell us which bar you're at. Are you a net standard 1, 1.3, 1.6, or 2? And once that bar is met, then any of the assemblies generated in any of those environments will work with the others.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I'm building a library and I target a specific net standard framework, what does that mean?
So I'll tell you what it means, and I'll make sure that we understand the difference between a library author and a business programming author, because I think they come from a different spot. Okay. So each one has their own set of APIs that they define. Mm-hmm. So just to give you an idea, I believe these numbers are close or accurate. .NET Standard 1.6 has about 13,000 APIs. That's individual properties, methods, structures, classes, okay. .NET Standard 2.0 has about 34,000.
So three times, you know.
Over twice as big. Okay. I might not have those numbers exactly right, but think a big jump between 1.6 and 2.0. So it's a really big jump. So if I'm on 1.6 and I'm writing a library, any library that targets 1.6, I can only use 13,000-ish. We'll say that that's the right number.
Right.
13,000 APIs, that's all I can use, okay, and stay within the .NET standard boundary, and my tools should help me do that. That's why in Visual Studio we target .NET standard, is because it says, oh, this is what you can still use. In the same way, if you were targeting a PCL, it would say these are the things you can use. So it's a little bit different way to implement it. Has some profoundly different implications, but at the end of the day, it is the same in that your code can be written against a set of APIs.
I see. And so what does that mean for library authors? Like, if you wanted to work, like, what does that mean for library authors?
Yeah, so here's where the difference is. It's a little bit different. And so if you're a library author, what you want to do is go to the lowest possible level of .NET standard. So if you can work, probably prior to 1.3, it's not got a big audience, so let's just say 1.3. You can target 1.3, more people will be able to use your library, because everyone who has their business apps or their other libraries targeting 1.3 will be able to use your library. Now, business programmers don't have that problem. They don't have other people that they want to have convinced to use their code,
I see.
So if I'm a library author, I want you to please, Seth, use my code.
Yeah.
Okay, if I am a business programmer, get out of my face.
Yeah.
You're not part of my world.
Yeah.
So it's a very different position. So business programmers, I would suggest, in general, that they wait until they get to 2.0. It tells .NET Standard 2.0 is in full release. It's Q3, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's not that far away now.
It's pretty soon.
It's on the roadmap.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can just go look it up. I think it's Q3.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get there, then it's easy, it's cheap. You don't have to make an investment.
Right.
Why make an investment in something that's going to go away in 2 months?
Yeah.
So that doesn't make a lot of sense. So that's where the difference is between the library author and the programmer. Now, I want us to make, I don't want to forget to say something,
yeah, okay.
So let me throw it in right now, which is, somebody listening to this, you know, you're either one of these cases, okay? You're going like, okay, that sounds good, but gosh, what about my app? Where's my app going to be in this? Is my app going to work? I don't really care whether, in the broader sense, I don't care what the statistics are. I want to know whether my app is going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something called that you can find if you look for .NET Portability Analyzer.
Yes, I've heard about
this. Okay, so you download the .NET Portability Analyzer, and it gives you a great big report. It tells you everything that you can run this app against. If you can run against Xamarin, it'll tell you. If you can run against .NET Full Framework 4.5, it'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
What you care about is whether you can run against the .NET standard you want to run against.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a library author and you're going, how expensive, how hard would it be for me to target .NET Standard 1.3? Well, it'll tell you. It'll tell you what exactly you're using that would be a problem, if anything. Then if you're like a business programmer, what it can do is you can say, wow, how am I going to have to wait for .NET Standard 2.0, or have I already got what I need? So can I go now, or do I need to wait for that 2.0, which is what Kathleen said we should probably do. And probably you're going to find one or two things in 1.6 that are going to get in the way of you being able to move over to .NET Standard. So why fix it? just wait.
Right.
And then do .NET Standard 2.0, which is kind of the gold standard. That 33,000 is, they worked hard to figure out what should be in that 33,000.
Right.
Their number's close to that.
And I like the distinction that you're making between a library author and a business programmer. Because as a business programmer, you're not constrained. You can use whatever you want. If you're on the full framework, good for you. Right? The only question is involved is if you want your code to work across a myriad of things, the lower the .NET Standard version you have, the more platforms it will work across. Is that right?
Right. Okay. Exactly. And you just
and that's a business decision.
As a business programmer, you don't care.
Yeah.
As a library author, you do care.
Yeah. As a library author, you're saying, okay, the lower I go, for example, I have a .NET machine learning library that targets 1.3 because I want to be able to get as wide as possible while still using reflection, which is 1.3.
Right.
And so the reason why I would target .NET Standard 1.3 is because I want it to work at as many places as possible.
Exactly.
And that's a decision I make for availability. A business user, for accessibility, people use it.
Right.
But a business user would only target lower .NET Standards for business reasons. Like,
exactly.
For example, they want this library to also work on their phone app as well.
Right, and if just waiting for the platforms to catch up, because the platforms, you know, you can go to .NET Standard 2.0, which is a great future-proofing. You're future-proofing your app to go to .NET Standard 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
And if for a lot of people today, I think that's all they need. It's just future-proof, just go, just, you know, just let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if today you want to target like a Xamarin or something, some other platform,
right,
then you've got to match that platform. So, you know, if you're on 2 and it's on 1.6, you're gonna struggle there,
yeah,
right? It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just trying to line the numbers up. And this is all going to go away.
Yeah.
If you think about it, okay? So 2, you know, we got, you know, 1.1, 1.3, 1.6, 2. You know, this has been a big jump. 2 to 2.1 can't be this big. It's going to be small. So everybody's going to be on 2 within, let's say, a year.
Mm-hmm.
And in a year, I don't think anybody anywhere is going to care. But if you're a library author like you are today,
mm-hmm,
you can't just say, I don't care who uses my app for the next year. You care who uses it today and tomorrow,
right,
even knowing that sometime you might come out with a new version that does a couple things differently that needs .NET Standard 2.0, and that sometime, maybe next fall, that you'll be able to say, I don't care about anything but 2.0 and above anymore.
And like I said, like one of the things that I did in my library is I wanted to go with the lowest one that I possibly could. And it caused me trouble.
Yeah, it did. You had to work.
Yeah, I had to do some work. So I'm like, oh, I can't use that. Oh, I can't use that. Oh, I can't use that. But I can do this and I can do that. Like, for example, reflection works a lot different in 1.3.
Absolutely, because it had to incorporate the model that was brought in for UWP and the whole, what do we used to call it? That whole let's work on devices stuff that came in. A few years ago, so we wound up with a different model for reflection that sat on top of our existing model, but that's quite different in those other platforms, so it had to reflect that. And in 1.6 or 1.7, right in there, in 1.3, they use only the model from those platforms. I believe that both are supported going forward, although I don't know that for sure.
I see. Well, this has been super informative. We have like another minute or so. Where can people go to find out more about .NET Standard, number one, and then where can they go to find out more about you and what you write?
So I'm kind of quiet right now online.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really up on my blog right now. So the best place to do that.
There's some gems in there anyways, right?
You can follow me on Twitter. So I'm Kathleen Dollard on Twitter. Try to make it easy for people. So you can find me there. If you're looking for work in Denver, you can get in touch with ROI Code.
Nice.
And then what was the other question? Oh, about .NET Standard. So the big thing I want to say is .NET Portability Analyzer. And just search for that. And then also search for .NET Standard 2.0. You'll find some great blog posts by the team and some things that you can look at there. So, you know, there's a lot of information out there, and I think we're all going to be really excited when it all comes very real in, I believe, Q3. It's on the roadmap, and I think it says Q3.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us, Kathleen. Thanks so much for watching. We're going to come right after this. We're going to wrap up with the conference organizers that actually made this conference. This is the 10th year that NEC Oslo has been up. Did you know
this
that?
It's amazing. It's my first year here, and it's been an absolutely fantastic
my
experience.
My goodness, they're so good.
Well,
thanks for spending some time with us. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you right after this.